Today's scripture lesson is from 1 John. As you're able, please stand for the reading. Dear friends, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. This is how you can recognize the Spirit of God. Every spirit that acknowledges that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. But every spirit that does not acknowledge Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard is coming, and even now is already in the world. You, dear children, are from God and have overcome them, because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. They are from the world and therefore speak from the viewpoint of the world, and the world listens to them. We are from God, and whoever knows God listens to us, but whoever is not from God does not listen to us. This is how we recognize the spirit of truth and the spirit of falsehood. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
You may be seated.
Most of you know me. My name's Keith Sorek. I am your lay voting delegate to the North Georgia Conference, United Methodist Church. It's my privilege to talk to y'all on this day, Laity Sunday, because laity is what really drives the church. In this building right now, we have two clergy, and the rest of us are laity. So a lot of what my speaking is going to come today is going to come from my heart to fellow brothers and sisters in Christ and some of the things that I have observed. I would like to take a moment to remind you that today is the 15th of October, and on the 15th of each and every month, it's my great privilege to go to the Lord Jesus Christ and our Father in heaven and pray for this congregation. It's a ministry we've had for many, many years where you choose a date, and in that same date, the 2nd, the 4th, the 15th, whatever, throughout the year, you pray for this congregation. I can tell you it's been rewarding for me all these many years, and that's what I had the pleasure of doing this morning. I start with three small statements. Kyrie eleison, Christus eleison, Kyrie eleison. Lord have mercy. Christ have mercy. Lord have mercy. That's from my childhood, my background, my upbringing of going to Mass, as is the Gloria Patri that we sing at this holy table every single Sunday. And many, many other things are all part of the Mass. You see, we're all part of the Mass yet. We're all part of the body of Christ. I wish to thank Dr. Bob for the opportunity just to share some of my thoughts with my fellow brothers and sisters in Christ here. Always there have been voices speaking out for what is contrary to the desires of God. We Christians must develop the capacity to discern the mindset to all the noise that we are bombarded with. We must learn to say no to garbage, even when it comes wrapped in very pretty packages. Those are not my words. Those are the words of David Maines, Chapel of the Air radio announcer that I listened to a lot back in the 80s. As what Fred talked to us about, let me just start now talking to you about the two heresies that John the Revealer went after. Docetism and Gnosticism are the two heresies that John the Revealer is referring to in this passage. Both are similar, since the former, Docetism, grew out of the latter. Docetism taught that Jesus was only spirit and just appeared to be human, much like ghosts, holograms. Gnosticism further held that all physical matter was evil. The spirit was good, and only the intellectually enlightened could enjoy the benefit of religion. Both groups found it hard to believe in a Savior who was fully human. To my way of thinking, the church today, especially in this country, finds itself espousing similar erroneous beliefs. This spirit of error, as John calls it, is a spirit that is moved by the Antichrist. This same error we see moving throughout the modern church when the virgin birth is denied, or the disbelief of the bodily resurrection of our Lord Jesus. Many established seminaries are teaching these very points, along with the ideas of universal conscience and universal salvation. Yes, I do find this disturbing, perhaps even more than disturbing. We were reminded in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 that the man of lawlessness is exposed as working in our world today. He will oppose, he will exalt himself over everything that is called God. Old Satan sure has been busy these days in our Western civilization. But don't fear on that point. We know the end. We know that he is doomed to destruction himself. Thanks be to God. But later in this same chapter, Paul writes, they perish. They perish. That is people. People like you, people like me, us. They perish because they refuse to love the truth and so be saved. For this reason, God sends them a powerful delusion so that they will believe the lies. Too often we hear our church espouse many things that contradict scriptures. Scripture's very essence at times. We are instructed by those in the know that we must adapt to the world we live in. They are from the world. Those that know are from the world. Therefore, they speak from the viewpoint of the world, as Brother Fred read to you, and the world listens to them. Verse 5, as St. John reminds us, says exactly that, that the world listens to them because they're of the world. But brothers and sisters, we have overcome the world. The one who resides right here, the one who resides right here in our souls is greater than the world. His sacrifice of blood to redeem us from evil and the evil one, and his resurrection and his coming again all attest to his being the Alpha, the Omega, the first and the last. We are reminded in this passage that every spirit that acknowledges that Jesus came as a man, Jesus came as a man, flesh and blood, real flesh, real blood, that is, real bone, real sinew, real eyes, real ears, real mouth, real hair, is from God. Please listen to these words again from the second verse, because they're preaching against it throughout the world. Every spirit that acknowledges that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. Everything in the flesh is from God. This Jesus of ours, he knew no sin, was made to be sin for us that we might become righteous in this world. That's from Paul's letter to the Corinthians, 2 Corinthians letter, actually, in the 5th chapter. Remember, that is revealed throughout the Bible that our Lord took upon himself the sin of the world through identification with us, not through sympathy for us. Think about that for just a moment. Let that percolate a little bit inside our minds, because we keep wanting to have it easy in this world. Jesus took the sin of the world away because he identified with us, not because he felt sorry for us. He deliberately took on his own shoulders and endured in his own body the complete cumulative sin of all peoples. It wasn't a phantom or a ghost being whipped till his back was laid bare. It wasn't some apparition having his hands and feet nailed to a cross. It wasn't something philosophical endured the pain of having his heart literally explode on that tree. Friends, when our Lord was separated from his very self, the same self as his Father in heaven, the pain was real, mental, emotional, physical, real pain, genuine. So now we ask, how do we really test these things that St. John refers to as the spirits? Today it's easier, because spirits sound so funky, it's easier to identify them as the philosophies, the talking of the world, whatever you want to define them as. Here's how we do that. These things we read about or hear about, and these philosophies that we have been taught. Well, there's one way to start in my simple mind, and it's where I always start. Matthew 11:25, I start with the words of Jesus. Jesus says, I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and from the learned, and you revealed them to little children. Thank you, Lord, I'm still a little child. I'm 68 years old, but I hope I never get smart enough or ever get intellectual enough that I can't go to the word of Jesus Christ and still not think like a small child. Thank you, Lord. Sometimes we, as a society of instant communication and our sophisticated lifestyles, become very sure of ourselves. We lean on the knowledge as is defined by our times, the press, our politicians, our celebrities, our professors, and yes, even at times, some of our preachers, most notably some of the TV types. Note, think back to my first comment on Gnosticism. We are much like the Gnostics of the first century. We're looking for some hidden intellectual passage to the truth. Truth is Jesus. Truth is Jesus, right? Hello out there. Most of you thought the same thing when I asked. The truth is, it's Jesus. That's right. Praise God. In the beginning, this is from John's Gospel, first chapter. In the beginning was the Word, Jesus, that's the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Jesus was with God, Jesus was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made, through Jesus that is. Without him nothing was made that has been made. That's Jesus again, it's the Word, the Logos. In him was life, and life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. The darkness does not understand the light. And brothers and sisters, let us not miss this next verse, the vital verse of the gospel. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. Jesus became flesh and made his dwelling among us. Thanks be to the Lord. We test what we hear and read by this same Word. That is Jesus, again, that is Jesus. We test and hear everything we read. We test and we hear everything we read, everything we see, everything we're taught in school, everything we're taught out of school, everything we hear from a politician. We test everything that we hear and read against Jesus, the Word. From the Bible again, this time Paul's first letter to the Thessalonians, test everything, hold on to the good, avoid every kind of evil. Now, do these philosophies we encounter match up with the Holy Word we find in our Bibles today? I think not. I think most of these philosophies that are running rampant in this country and around Western civilization today do not line up with the Word of God in the Bible. Do they match commitment to the body of Christ? Who's the body of Christ? Us. Everybody in this room, clergy included now. The body of Christ is all the believers in Jesus Christ, right? Okay. So now do we match commitment to the body of Christ as we find in 1 John 2nd chapter, just a little before the passage we're talking about today, when we are reminded that many who start in the body, that is the church, the beloved of Jesus, go out and become part of the world. They don't belong to us any longer, but they belong to the world. That's what Scripture tells us. They start in the church, but some of them go out and belong in the world. Because they listen to the world, they become of the world, instead of staying of the Word, Jesus. Maybe they never did belong to us. Maybe they were plants like the spy and terror cells we hear today. Maybe. Maybe they were planted in our lives by the Antichrist. There's no way for us to know, but we do know this. They go out to the world and they start preaching the world instead of preaching Jesus, then they're of the world. We can also look to Scripture to see that they must match the lifestyle of the body of Christ. In other words, the lifestyle of Jesus himself. To believe in Jesus as the Son and to love one another as he commanded us. To believe Jesus as the Son of God, and to love everybody else as he commanded us to do. Tough words there, Lord, but we try it. I need not remind any of us that any statement made by any faction in or out of the church that does not preach love for all others above ourselves is not scripturally sound. I'm going to repeat that. No faction in the church, out of the church, over the church, anywhere else that does not preach love for all others above the love for ourselves is not scripturally sound. Love for others has to be paramount. Paramount. When we are testing the spirits of error, love for our brothers has to be paramount. The love of Jesus Christ in us has to be paramount. Also, let us remain watchful that we do not look to any human holiness that isn't based on the blood of Jesus Christ and his atonement for our sins. Did you hear those words? We hear this all the time. We talk the blood of Jesus Christ. We talk atonement, and yet we don't want to get down to it. We're talking the blood of Jesus Christ. We're talking our salvation came from the blood of Jesus Christ. These are not words that went away 700 years ago, 900 years ago, 300 years ago. These are words that are as real today as they ever were the day Jesus went for it. So let us remain, don't ever get so high in our human holiness that we don't want to talk about the atonement of the blood of Jesus Christ. Beware of any human holiness that substitutes its perceived goodness and kindness. Golly, how many times have you heard, we got to be kinder, we got to be good? Satan can be kind and he can be good too. Hitler was kind to his dog Blondie. Was. Very kind, they say. Beware of human holiness that substitutes its perceived goodness and kindness for the redemption that came from the fully God and fully human, fully God and fully human Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. In the 300s, Constantine, the pagan ruler of the Eastern Roman Empire, saw a vision before a great battle. His mother, who was Christian, told him that a sign would appear in the sky. That sign would be from the God that she prayed to, our God. Due to her prayers, that sign, if he saw it, would give Constantine victory over his enemies. The sign he saw was a cross in the sky. The cross was red in color. At battle's eve, Constantine had it painted on the shield, and all the wagons of everything, the chariots, everything in his army. And he achieved victory. After the victory, he converted the empire, the whole Roman Empire, to Christianity by making it the state religion. But you know, he needed to know just what it was that he was believing in and what his subjects, who he had just made Christians, forced to baptize, what they were supposed to believe in. So therefore, he called the learned men together to a council of Nicaea, a city in what is now Turkey in Asia Minor, in 323. To create a creed that all Christians could be measured by. I think that's really important. You ask how to measure the spirits? Look in the Bible. If you're not opening your Bible enough, you're never going to be able to measure against the evil spirits or against anything that's working against you. You're never going to see it unless you're in the Word to begin with. One of the quickest ways and easiest ways to know that something's wrong is the creed. And if you would, instead of us affirming it, I'm going to pray it over you. So if you would just bow your heads with me for a moment, and thank you, Lord. We believe in you, God, the Father, the Almighty, the maker of heaven and earth and all that is seen and unseen. We believe in you, Lord Jesus, as the only Son of God, you eternally begotten of our Father. You, Lord, are God from God. You, Jesus, are light from light. You are true God from true God. Jesus, you were not begotten. You were not made. You are of one being with the Father, and through him all things were made. Jesus, thank you for our salvation. When you came down from heaven and were made incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary and became truly human. For our sake, you were crucified under Pontius Pilate. You suffered death and were buried. On the third day, Jesus, you rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. You ascended into heaven, and you are seated at the right hand of your Father. You will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and your kingdom will have no end. We believe in your Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from you and from you, Jesus, and who with you are to be worshiped and glorified. You have spoken through the prophets. We believe in your one, holy, universal, and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of our sins. Oh, Lord, we do so look forward to resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Come, Lord Jesus, in your holy name we pray. As we get ready to sing our closing hymn, one that means a lot to me, one that personally has been part of my heart for a long time. If there's this altar belongs to us. It belongs to the body of Christ. This altar belongs to the body of Christ, and you can come to this altar in whatever state of mind you're in. Maybe you're sad. Maybe you're happy. Maybe you're upset. Maybe somebody hurt you. Maybe you've lost a job. Maybe you're looking for another job. Maybe something is here, something is there. Maybe the Holy Spirit's telling you to get up here and do some business with them. That's way over my pay grade. But the pay grade involved here is that this is our altar. And whether you use it on a Sunday morning or you use it during the week when you come in here, this is your altar. This is your kneeling rail. So if you will, turn to page 362 with me. And as we get ready to sing Nothing But the Blood, I want you to remember this, to test everything you hear against Scripture and against the holiness of Jesus Christ.